talking about the things that matter most to you. Today's Catholic Women. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder is underwritten by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, a licensed representative of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa, cindyschulte.com, and Fred Haas, over 30 years helping injured Iowans recover losses from accidents and work-related injuries. Fred Double D, Haas Double A.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today at the Catholic Women Now coffee table. I'm Julie Nelson.
And I'm Chris Magruder. Good morning, listeners.
Oh, yes. It's just a beautiful day. Yes. It's a beautiful day for the Lord. We're in our third week of Advent here. Prepare.
It's the pink candle week, Julie.
That's right.
The pink candle.
Rejoice. In the Latin word.
Gaudete? Do I say it right?
I don't know. I wasn't going to say it. I was going to let you take that
one. Gaudete? I didn't look it up today. I didn't listen to Google tell me how to pronounce it.
I love Google. Okay. Well, anyway, we got a great show. I'm so excited about our guest. Her story is intriguing. We have with us today Heidi Leper Barrett, and she has a really amazing conversion story from growing up in a family without any Christian influence to becoming Catholic to moving to Russia and finding a deeper relationship with our Lord through
Russia, in Russia.
In iconography. And she's going to talk a little bit about that and her story. It's really an unusual conversion story. It's just kind of one that not your typical run-of-the-mill conversion story in my mind. So
yes, and she wouldn't call herself necessarily an iconographer, but I've seen a few of her icons. They are beautiful.
Look good to me, too. Yeah, they are beautiful. So, yes. You want to stay around and listen to her story. She's got some.
And you want to text in if you have anything you want to ask her, if we have some time. Our text line, again, is 515-223-1150.
That's right.
So text in. And then let's start with prayer.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, we got to say thank you, Cindy Schulte of Farm Bureau Financial Services, for underwriting Catholic Women Now. Cindy is an authorized independent agent, and she and her team provide health insurance options from Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. She just does a great job of making insurance simple for you and can protect and help you protect your future and whatever matters most to you. Let her help you. CindySchulte.com, 515-226-2111.
Well, we have today in studio with us our guest, Heidi Leper Barrett. Heidi earned a PhD in social and personality psychology with emphasis nonverbal behavior and positive psychology at the University of California, Riverside. She's a wife to Joe and a mother to two boys. Heidi, welcome to Catholic Women Now.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is so fun to have you share your story. I know you were at the well the other night for Advent.
Yes, I was.
And so some of those ladies, I think, were going to be listening and maybe sending in some of their text questions. Yes. But share with us kind of the early years, what happened in your life and what led you to Russia and iconography. There's a lot.
It might take a while.
You're a California girl.
I'm a California girl. I am from Santa Barbara. And thankfully right now, I've been praying the winds are not high right now because of the fires.
Yeah. I have family, out there.
All of everybody out there, especially the firefighters, lift the firefighters up. Mm-hmm. They're getting really tired. So I grew up in Santa Barbara, California, to a family. I was the youngest of three. To a mom and a dad who didn't have faith or they were falling away in faith, my mom would tell you today, I raised my children with Christian values but without Christ. Mm. And now I'm like, at 47, I'm thinking, how exactly does that happen?
Sounds like she's had a conversion too.
Away from the church.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, my mother is not. Oh, okay. She's not a believer. Okay. And so I think she might be. I've been working
we'll
on
pray
her.
She'll
keep praying.
She's been
keep
coming
praying.
To Mass That's with right. us the last That's couple right. times, and she loves Pope Francis. So I do think my mother.
There's her. Some doors very opening might. There.
Very, very might. So I grew up just without it. I wasn't baptized, and I remember being a little girl. Just having a sense of why wasn't I baptized? And I remember asking my mom as a little girl, why am I not baptized? And she's like, because I don't believe in baptism. And it was just, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It just, I think God was working on me at that early age. And I had friends who would either go to the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church. So if I happened to spend the night at their house, they would invite me, and I always went. Mm-hmm. But it was hard as a young girl. I didn't understand. Nobody was talking to me. So I had the Catholic Church, which was always intriguing to me. I love the Eucharist, and I noticed that at the Lutheran Church, they didn't have that, and it was just two very different styles.
Mm-hmm. So then when were you baptized?
I was baptized at age 30 at St. Francis here in town.
Oh, yay!
My church.
With what? With my oldest son. So he was a baby when I was baptized.
Love that.
So how was that for you, being baptized with your infant
son? I can't even describe it. It's incredibly powerful. And so around every Easter, about when I was baptized, I always tell him, I'm like, we were baptized together. I'm sure he thinks I'm a little wackadoodle, but
he may now, but he'll come.
I think we were at St. Francis. We go to St. Pius now. After we returned from overseas, we're at St. Pius. But when we were at St. Francis for his return from Kairos last year, I saw the baptismal font, and I was like, sweet boy, we were baptized together there.
It all comes back.
Yep. So I went through RCIA, much to my husband's pushing. I was open to it, but scared. Uh-huh. And I kept reminding myself, why are you so scared of God? It's kind of an interesting concept.
So God was starting to pursue you, or you felt God's pursuit of you at that point.
Oh, yeah. Before then, even in my, all through my teenage years and my 20s, I had epiphanies. I know that there was a time in Hawaii when I was 26 that he spoke to me for the first time. But I only see that now in retrospect. Yeah. I didn't know what was happening.
Uh-huh. So when did your armor crack, per se?
My first cracking of armor occurred when my oldest son got sick, very, very, very sick when he was 5. He was in kindergarten, and he acquired a virus that destroyed all of his platelets.
Oh, my gosh. That's very serious.
He had zero platelets.
Never heard of
that. It's called ITP. It's acute ITP.
So then that you know, anytime we have difficulties like that, especially health emergencies, those times we tend to turn toward God, even if we don't say we think we know him. There's something deep in us. We know him.
Yeah. But I wasn't going to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will
say. You still weren't there yet.
No, I wasn't there. I mean, I had been baptized. So I was already baptized, you know, confirmed Catholic for about 5 years. And he was there, but I didn't really understand that I was actually to go to him.
Mm. So you have this psychology background.
Yes.
So there's probably a lot of that training and learning that you've learned that kind of coming into this, that maybe you felt like you could do a lot on your own.
I think absolutely. And I knew what the model was. I know how we are supposed to be. And even all through graduate school, I was thinking this model of how we are to be is Christ. Like, I didn't understand why we couldn't talk about that. Mm-hmm. We're to be open and loving and forgiving and accepting of everybody at all times. And we as humans cannot do that. I believe unequivocally now only the Holy Spirit can lead us to that.
So after your son recovered?
He recovered. He was in the hospital for about 4 days. And he recovered. It took about 5 months for his blood levels to come back to normal. And it was acute. And they said, he's done. That's it. And I knew I had a crack. The crack was beginning in terms of my awareness that I was not in control. No matter how well I do as a mother, and if I follow all the maternal rules, my children will be fine. And that's when I realized there are factors beyond my control.
So then where were you at in your life, in your faith life? Then then you continued on with your life like it was. Like, you continued to teach.
I was changed after that. I knew that I didn't have the ability to control everything, and that I needed to have awareness of where I was seeking control and to give that up. I wasn't yet giving it to God or asking him to enter in. So I used all of my quote-unquote psychology to give up that control. And so he actually unbelievably came home from school 4 years later and said, Mommy, that rash is back. And it's called petechia. It's broken blood vessels under the skin. And I just was
scared.
Wow. Yeah. And he took him back to the clinic, and they said, he has zero platelets. We think there's something wrong with the machine. And I said, no, he needs to go to the hospital. So he was in the hospital again for 4 days. He recovered much more quickly. And I'll never forget the health officer there. She remembered him. I mean, it's kind of hard to forget this kid who had zero platelets. And she looked at me and she said, you've changed. And I was like, thank you. I think I have. And I said, how is it that parents don't change? And she's like, I don't know.
So were you praying at this point?
I wasn't, not like I do today. Yes, I was praying. I believe even atheists pray. I believe all humans pray. I wasn't praying in the degree to which I pray rather constantly now. I wasn't praying for the Holy Spirit to bring me his gifts. I wasn't praying with Christ at the center. Not like I do today. But yeah, I was praying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You were praying the way you knew how.
Exactly.
At that point.
Exactly.
Yes, in your journey. So then you later became ill as well.
Yes. So I was now, you have been through your 30s. In our 30s, we think we've got it all going on. You know, we're handling everything. We're educated. We're doing well. We're happily married. We've got our kids. We're living our typical kind of, you know, middle class, upper middle class life. And I was an athlete. And so I was doing long course duathlon, half Ironman triathlon.
Amazing.
I know.
And anybody that can say that, amazing. Yeah. I can't even think about doing it.
Well, in my 30s, I know I couldn't have.
I would use the scripture from Romans, suffering produces endurance. So I would make myself suffer, believing it would produce endurance. Okay. So
that's interesting how you took that.
Oh yeah, we're not supposed to text proof like that. So yes, yeah, so I would always use that piece of scripture to keep myself going. So I'm pretty gritty. I have the ability to kind of dig deep, and I'm an endurance athlete. I grew up as a soccer player, so I got sick with a virus, and I knew I was going to get sick. I actually seemingly somehow predicted it. I was getting very emotional over my sport. I had a very terrible bike crash, broke my shoulder and ribs, didn't perform well in a marathon. I mean, I did.
Somebody was trying to wake you up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I kept telling the doctors, it was January 2008, I kept telling the doctors, it feels like something is gripping my chest, like something is wrapped around and gripping my chest. I couldn't breathe. My chest just hurt really, really bad.
I would think they would have said, oh, heart attack.
Well, they checked my heart, and they actually, they did an x-ray. They thought it was in my lungs, so they put me on prednisone, which was not going to help, but it was some level of protection. Mm-hmm. But I kept saying, something is gripping my chest. I found a doctor, Dr. Marvin Huff, who's now retired, who said, you're an endurance athlete. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think you have a virus known as Coxsackie B, which will attack the heart in people who are endurance athletes.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
I was also significantly underweight, which didn't help.
Yeah.
And so he said it will take at least a year. He likened it to a tornado. A tornado can come in 1 minute, destroy a town, but it takes you years to build that town back up. So it was a great analogy.
Isn't this a nut? What's it called? Coxsackie B? Isn't it also called Devil's Grip?
It is. I discovered in the 1800s it was known as Devil's Grip. And so that was one of my most pivotal moments, is understanding, yes, this emotional pressure that I'm putting myself under is really the devil coming after me. And he was gripping me. He was
so you were like with
gripped.
Devil, God, and you.
It was, yes.
Which one do you want to devil? Which one do you want to hang with?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and so I was June, terrified.
Let's see who
I
wins here. Huh?
Right. So I used my psychology to layer back all of the fears that we have, trying to understand what is this pressure about. And I began to peel it back egoistically, that it was about deep, intense fear of disappointing people who said that they were proud of me.
Big epiphany.
Oh, it was massive. Thankfully, it was my brother helping me, who said on the phone to me, why do you have to be so perfect, Heidi?
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, well, no, I've passed all the perfectionism tests. I'm not a perfectionist. So after that, I realized this enormous fear of being left all alone in the world. And that, of course, led me right to God. Well, am I actually alone? And so the first time in my life, I said, God, if you were real, you're going to have to reveal yourself.
And
I prayed that, and he did.
And how did he do that?
I would say visually, I saw Jesus sitting there in my living room in Johnston, right there in the corner, and he said, but I have always been with you. I will always remain with you.
No, you saw him? You had a vision?
Yes.
Wow.
That's very...
You know what? Thank you for sharing that. That is definitely...
That brings hope to us.
The vision stayed for a long time, and I knew he was always there. But I said, did you just stay over in that corner? I know you're there, and I love you being there, but you're not really going to, take over my life now, are you?
Wow.
So then I heal, And I go out to nationals, which were in California. And so my mom came up and I didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew. I took out my husband and my boys. And I made the last spot on the national team in my age group for long course duathlon.
Wow.
And that's pretty amazing after being ill like you were.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a terrible race. I think I cried on the 12th mile of the half marathon. So you run 2 miles, you bike 56 and you run a half marathon, but it was a 6,000 foot climb because you were doing it in the mountains. So it was a terrible race. And I remember crying.
You are gritty.
I thought I was going to get killed by a mountain lion. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Wow. So did that, found out I made the last place. And a month later, my husband comes home and says, sweet wife, we're moving to Moscow, Russia for my work.
I would have said, oh, no, we aren't.
I kind of said that, but I realized it was my biggest fear because he had wanted an international assignment. And mm-hmm. I always said, I'll go anywhere, but not Russia.
Oh, okay.
And so when it was Russia, I was like, well, of course it's going to be Russia.
Yes.
So yeah, I didn't even question it. Mm. I wasn't happy about it, but I didn't question
so
it.
So how did you embrace your move to Russia?
Well, she took Jesus from the corner with her.
Yeah. Did you pack Jesus in a box?
So he was with me, but still kind of on the side. I wasn't really welcoming him in. He was with me, but I wasn't relying upon him as much as myself. So he went with me. And so I think I went well. I believed unequivocally I was going to spread world happiness to the Russians. I've always been pretty smiley. So I thought I could go around and smile at all the Russians. And it wasn't necessarily well received. It was by some people, others not so much.
Just not part of the culture.
Not part of the culture, and I understand it now. Mm-hmm. And I struggled in terms of I know that I was to live as they were wanting me to live, but I was struggling with that.
Uh-huh. So when you were living in Russia, what kind of situation were you living in?
We were living in an apartment, like a normal apartment, nearby where my children went to school. I didn't want to live in the compound, which we were recommended to live in. It felt really strange to me. I wanted to live like the Russians lived.
Yeah, you embrace the culture.
Yeah, I wanted to be a part of the culture.
And you wanted your children to have that experience too, because this was a great opportunity.
Yep. Yeah.
I would have thought the
same
thing.
It was amazing. They did awesome. My kids are amazing. They were 7 and 10 when they moved. Mm. They, like, I can't even describe. I mean, God has worked in their lives, and then they did great.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how was living in the culture for you?
It was the best and worst years of my life, I can say that. It was remarkable and also really, really hard. Sometimes you're just not welcome. Uh-huh. You know, and I didn't know the language. Mm-hmm. I was trying, but I didn't know the language. And when I did try, they weren't always welcoming
and
if I didn't speak it perfect.
Not an easy language to learn.
It's not even in our letters.
Yeah. Wow. So you had some difficulties over there.
Yeah.
Share some of those with our listeners.
Especially in relation to your faith life and how it shaped you in your faith life.
Well, my faith grew from that, but it was hard. There were only two churches. It was like the Moscow Protestant Church, and that was English speaking, and that's where most expats went. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Catholic Church in the U.S. Embassy, but we weren't embassy or State Department, so mm-hmm. we would have to get escorted in. It was really problematic getting there. Mm. And my youngest one got very, very car sick because of the diesel fumes and stuff like that, so he usually would throw up on the way. So we tried to go to the closer church, which happened to be the Protestant church.
Okay. But now, while you were there to keep busy, you continued to train for Worlds.
I did. I privately trained on my own. I was in my house on my bike trainer, and then I would run in the forest right outside my house. We lived in the most beautiful. It would be akin to a Central Park in New York City. And it was stunningly beautiful, and I loved every time I got to be out there. We moved there in January of 2010, so in the middle of Russian winter, and I discovered I could run in extreme cold and snow, and I loved it.
So now I would be a little concerned. I mean, I'm a little more of a cautious person, but running in the woods alone, being a foreign woman in the woods.
I wasn't scared. I don't know. I even ran to Red Square once see if I could do it, and I did. Wow. So I don't know why I wasn't fearful. I grew up in California. I was outside every day of my life. Yes. I've always been outside.
Yeah. Well, you were telling us there this week about an experience you had when you were running that kind of was pivotal in your life.
This changed my life. So there are feral street dogs, packs and packs and packs of just wild dogs who live in on the Russian continent, but particularly in Moscow, there's 60,000 street dogs.
Wow.
And I saw them every day. I named the ones who lived closest to me. They were Blondie, Blackie, and Sparky. They didn't scare me. Mm-hmm. They were dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, I like dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, July 4th, 2010, I was silently attacked from behind, and it was a life and death fight with a pack of five dogs. So that became a change for me in terms of not understanding I was protected, even though I was protected. I believed I was being punished. Russians told me I was being punished. Other people said I had done something wrong to have deserved that. And it ended my athletic career. My right hamstring was badly damaged. Mm-hmm. But now, in retrospect, there were so many levels of protection.
Well, you had an experience. Your guardian angel really stepped in and
helped
you.
Yeah. It wasn't until I turned to prayer. So I fought myself. I knew something told me what to do. Don't let them get your hands. Your arms aren't strong. Don't let them get your ponytail. Keep your back up to a tree. Don't let them surround you. And then I was able to travel about 20 yards out to a street, hoping somebody would find me. And it wasn't until I finally prayed, because I was getting exhausted. Uh-huh. I didn't think I was going to get out of it. And I just prayed, Lord, help me. I want to see my husband and children again. And he said, get the lead dog. And wow. I was scared. And yeah. He gave me the strength to, get closer into the pack to get the lead dog. And I was able to fight my way through. Mm. And
you sent them on their way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's
great.
You know, anybody that doesn't think that God isn't there in every moment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you heard him say, get the lead dog.
Yeah.
And somehow
it
you
was
knew
not
which
my
one
voice.
You
it
knew which lead
yep.
dog
yep.
was
yep.
the lead dog,
yep.
too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, you can't
right.
always tell that.
Right. I mean, yeah. I think when something terrible happens, we go, where are you, God? Yeah. Well, now he was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. My dad was on his way. He was an hour and a half outside Moscow flying in. So my dad was there when I was in the hospital, and he was there with my husband and my children, and his wife took care of me for the next week. The only antidote for the rabies, mm-hmm. Not the antidote, it was live immunoglobulin, happened to be there on that day.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a doctor from NASA from Los Angeles. He's like, I am only here in Moscow for one day, and I'm the only person on the Russian continent who has what you need.
So God again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is Catholic Woman Hour, and speaking with Heidi Leppert Barrett about her conversion experience mm-hmm. and coming to the Catholic Church. Heidi, we have just about 4 minutes. I know. But one thing we want to touch upon is while you were in Russia, you took a class in iconography,
yes.
and that
yes.
was kind of like the pinnacle for
yes.
you changing your life.
Yes.
So we understand that you don't paint icons, you
write
icons,
yes.
and they're all natural pigment and,
yep.
and
yep.
things.
Yep.
So, and the first icon you start with is St. Michael the Archangel.
Yes, you always start with Archangel Michael because he is our protector against evil.
Okay.
Yes, and so you learn the liturgical process, the process of the layering of an icon, because there's 23 layers under what you see when you look at an icon.
And why 23 layers?
I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with Psalm 23.
I figured it was a book.
Yeah. Everything that you see on an icon has a symbolic meaning. There is nothing that is just random. Everything that you see has a meaning behind
every
it.
Line,
every
line, circle.
Every curl, every color, every layer, every etching, everything has meaning.
I think what's fascinating, I think I'd like to get into, is how you put on a layer and then you wash over it and with a dark color.
You're moving,
that symbolism of that to our spiritual life.
Yes, it's the ascent of dark to light and then going back to dark again so that you can come out into a brighter light, and then you cover it again and you go dark and you come back out and it comes into an even brighter light over and over again.
Each time go through a difficulty in your life,
yep.
the light seems to get brighter when you yeah. come
yes.
out.
Yes, who you are becomes more yeah. layered and yeah. faceted and beautiful.
Yeah.
If you rely upon God.
Yeah.
If you rely upon God. Because we can choose to stay in the dark.
Right, right.
Or we can choose to come back out into the light.
So hopefully the last layer you put on is a bright light.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
Well, the last layer is linseed oil. And the oil illuminates everything that's underneath it.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
one other thing you were talking about is it's red clay. And when you put the gold leaf on, you breathe
yes,
on it.
Yes, you do a lot of breathing. Of any gold that you see on any icon underneath is a red clay color. And it usually is clay. Mine have clay. And so you breathe on the red clay to produce heat and breath, and then the gold is able to stick, just like God breathed life into us.
I was just going to say that metaphor.
Ruah,
yes.
The Ruah.
Yes, it is the Ruah.
The breath
mm-hmm.
of God.
Breath of
mm-hmm.
God
oh
going
gosh.
Into us to breathe life. Wow.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Well, we have about 15 seconds left,
oh my
but I
goodness.
Know you talked about tension is kind of a trigger that tells us to go to prayer instead of building more tension. Yes. That is something you also learned in iconography.
I learned that when my body is tense, I have to go to prayer. Mm-hmm. That is my sign that sin is taking over when I'm tense.
And that is something you learned through iconography.
I learned that through iconography.
Wow. And that's something that old Heidi would never have done.
I never, ever would have said that.
You would have gone through the psychological channels of handling that.
Exactly. Yeah, I think your theme for your life at this point is suffering produces endurance. That's kind of what we've learned. Yeah.
And it kind of was Romans, but in a new way, showing the way that God intended for that writing. Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful.
What a blessing. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's great.
Joy. And she smiles all the way through this, listeners. You can't see that, but she's smiling all the way
through. You can hear in her voice. Yes. You can hear in her voice, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. What great. Well, Catholic Woman Now is grateful for the support of Fred Haas Law Offices. Mr. Haas is an experienced Iowa attorney with over 35 years of legal expertise. We've met him. We've had lunch with him. He really does put counsel into the word counselor and really takes care of his clients, personally cares for them. 515-256-6301 or fredhaas.com. Fred double D, Haas double A.
Must close with prayer, Jules?
Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of this day. Help us to shine the light of the Holy Spirit into us, that we may see the areas that we can grow and come closer to you, especially as we prepare for the birth of Jesus our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Iowa Catholic Rosary is up next. Thank you so much for listening. We'd ask that you please consider making a tax-deductible donation to Iowa Catholic Radio as we teach, defend, and evangelize our Catholic faith.
Amen, and keep preparing for Advent here.
That's right. Gaudete Sunday.
That's right. Rejoice. Now go do impossible things with God.
I need you to part the seas and take my hand.
Talking about the things that matter most to you. Today's Catholic Women. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder is underwritten by Fred Haas. Over 30 years helping injured Iowans recover losses from accidents and work-related injuries. Fred double D, Haas double A. And Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, a licensed representative of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. CindySchulte.com. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder every Thursday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the radio voice for Catholic Women Now. 1150 a.m., 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. And on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Iowa Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Tony Calumet, Executive Director at Iowa Catholic Radio. On behalf of myself and all of our staff at Iowa Catholic Radio, I want to wish everyone a very blessed Advent. Our hope for Christmas begins. Our year-end appeal is happening right now with letters mailed, and I want to thank you for your generosity and response to this appeal. We are hoping to raise an additional $45,000 on top of our goal of $50,000 to address the much-needed updates in our programming department and cost with our current tower. Please know that we are very grateful for every amount that you send to us. No amount is too small. As our Iowa Catholic Radio family, you are in our prayers each day. May God richly bless you and your loved ones.